Please join your hearts with mine for a moment of prayer. Holy God, we thank you for this Sabbath day that you have called us together, and we thank you for the gift of your holy word. And I ask now, O Lord, that the thoughts of our minds, the meditations of our hearts, but especially the words of my mouth, would be acceptable to you, O God, and continue to bring glory to your holy name. You who are our rock and our redeemer, our savior and our friend. Amen. The telephone rang in the church office, and as the pastor answered the phone, he was asked if this was Pastor John's, and he said, yes, it is. And the voice on the other end said, this is the IRS calling. Perhaps you can help me out. Well, immediately, the pastor began to have butterflies in his stomach and couldn't understand why the IRS would be calling him. And the agent went on to say, do you know Bruce Parker? And the pastor said, yes, I know Bruce Parker. He's an active member of our congregation. And so the IRS agent went on to ask if Brother Parker had given $10,000 to the church building fund. And Pastor John says, he will. He will. Now, that story caught my attention because it's through the IRS that I learned to tithe. Now, that might sound a little strange to you, and some of you have probably heard this story before, but when I was new in ministry, no one ever explained to me the intricacies of clergy taxes. Now, one thing that you maybe don't know is that clergy are required to file their taxes as if they were self-employed, even though you're paid by the church. And along with your salary for Social Security purposes, you need to declare your housing allowance. Or if you have a parsonage, you have to declare your parsonage as part of your income. When I was an associate pastor, I lived with my grandmother and I helped to care for her, so I didn't have a parsonage expense. But when I started my first full-time appointment, I did move into a parsonage. And I was 3 years into living in a parsonage before I knew that I needed to pay taxes on that housing. So clergy had been invited to a tax seminar for clergy, and I dutifully attended that and took notes and was shocked to find out that for 3 years I had not paid that amount of taxes and Social Security. So being a dutiful citizen, I went right to an accountant and said, I have to amend 3 years of taxes. Well, I thought that the IRS would be graceful. Talk about naive. I thought they would, just because I came forward, just say, well, you know, that's okay, thank you for sharing. But no. Taxes, penalties, interest were all added to amount to a huge dollar amount that this poor struggling pastor had to pay. It was about the same time. Now, you're probably wondering, what does that have to do with tithing? About the same time, my best friend was attending a charismatic house church. And she said to me, do you tithe? Do you tithe? And I got into this big, long conversation with her about not being able to tithe because I owed all this money to the IRS. And she said, if you tithe, that problem will take care of itself. If you tithe, that problem will take care of itself. I was naive enough to think that I could try that and perhaps it would work. I had been in the practice of writing my offering check at the end of the week with little left to write the check to the church. And so I changed my practices, and instead I wrote my tithe to the church as the first check I wrote after receiving my paycheck, and let everything else become second. My gift to the church became first fruits. My gift to the church was given out of the abundance that I had rather than the leftovers. Too often we give to God leftovers. Too often we don't give to God our first fruits. During the month of October, we've been talking about how are we committed to Christ. And we've talked about being committed in our prayer life, committed in reading of Scripture, committed to worship and witness and service. And today it's committed to giving. How are we committed to Christ through our commitment to giving? For too long, it's been considered a taboo to talk about giving from the pulpit. Finances are a private affair. And so to ask someone where their commitment to Christ is in their giving was sometimes looked down upon. But in fact, God is very interested in how we are committed to giving. How are we committed to giving back to God for all that God has given us? In the gospel lesson for this morning, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is talking about giving your gifts to the church, to the temple, giving of alms, giving to help others. And he says, when you try to figure out what you're going to give, do that prayerfully. Do that with a conversation between you and God. Don't do it so that you can toot your own horn or so that you can arrogantly see yourself as better than someone else. But in a prayerful conversation with God, discern what it is that you would give back to Christ, what it is that you would give to Christ and his church. So our commitment to Christ is a prayerful consideration. We talk about it with our families. We talk about it with God. We make a decision of how best we will commit our gifts to the Lord. How do you come to that answer? How do you decide what it is that you would give back to God through the work of the church? Too often, as I said, we give out of our leftovers rather than giving out of our abundance. Too often, it's fear that drives that decision rather than trust. It's fear that we won't have enough. It's a fear of the unknown, what the future would bring, rather than a trust that God will provide. Too often, it's based not on the generosity that God has already given us, but it's based more on the up and downs of the economy. What is the stock market about? What will our retirement funds look like? What will our income be like? Rather than thinking about all that we've already been blessed with and giving that back to God. In the book of Acts, Paul meets with the Ephesian elders as he's about to leave. It's a farewell speech. And in that conversation, he reminds them that he has worked diligently for the Lord. He's not worked for silver or gold, but he's worked to build up that house church, to build up in faith the Ephesian Christians. And he quotes Jesus, and he says that Jesus said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive." Now, nowhere in the gospel do we have Jesus saying that. But in fact, Jesus does talk a lot about money and possessions. Actually, 16 of his 38 parables have to do either with money or the things that we own. 1 out of 10 verses in the gospel, 288 verses, are about money or possessions. And in the whole Bible, there's 500 verses about prayer, less than 500 verses on faith, but over 2,000 verses in our Bible about money. I think it does matter to God how we are committed in our giving. I think it does matter to God how it is that we use the resources that God has given us. Often in the past, how we discerned how we would give to God was the church budget would be created. You would hear what the bottom line was. You'd know how much you needed to give to support the budget of the church. Instead, we now look at the church and the budget only to be good stewards of the gifts that you offer to the church. We do create a church budget. We budget for our church expenses. We budget for building needs. We budget for benevolence. But we also budget, we add into our budget a tithe. We add into our budget 10% above our benevolence budget to give to the needs of others. We are good stewards of what God has given us and what God has given us through you. It really does matter to God how we are committed in our giving. In 2 Corinthians, the passage that Molly read for us this morning, Paul is thanking the Corinthian church for their generosity. He's thanking them for a gift that they gave to help the the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem who were facing a time of famine. And he thanks them from the bottom of his heart, not only for the gift, but for their attitude of giving. Hear again what Paul says. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. When we decide on our commitment to the church, when we decide what it is that we will offer or pledge into the next year, we do that not under compulsion. Hopefully you don't do it reluctantly, but you do it with a sense of gratitude and joy for all that God has given you. You do it out of a sense of abundance, and you do it so that thanksgivings can be shared here and in the community, but especially with God. Our commitment to giving truly is a gift of thanksgiving. It's a gift to God for all that God has given us. And then we faithfully, as a congregation, give it back to God's children through our work. This morning, the ushers will be handing out our commitment cards. And there'll be a time of prayerful reflection. And then we'll sing together, "Take My Life and Let It Be." And while we're singing, we invite you to bring your commitment cards forward and place them in the boxes that we use for Consecration Sunday. Truly, God has richly blessed us. And so now it's our opportunity to prayerfully consider how we will be committed to God through our giving in this next year. And let us pray. A loving God, we thank you for the gift of this day. We thank you for your generosity poured out into our families and to our lives. And we thank you for the opportunity to commit ourselves as we commit our giving unto you. Bless the givers, O Lord, and the offerings that they make this day to your purposes. May it truly reflect the commitment that we have to your Son, Jesus Christ. As we gather here, O Lord, we are mindful of those who are absent from our midst, those who need to know your healing embrace and to feel your comforting spirit. We pray, O Lord, that you would be with the many who are recuperating from surgery. Be with those who have recently undergone falls and those who are hospitalized. Continue to offer your gift of healing to our loved ones and your strength to their families. And we pray, O Lord, for those who have lost loved ones in recent days. We pray that your Holy Spirit, your peace that is beyond anything that we can understand, will surround them with your comfort and your strength. O Lord God, we continue to pray for the ministries of this church. We pray for all of the endeavors that you've entrusted us with as we reach out to your children in love and grace. And we pray that you would continue to encourage us to remember your children around the world so that we, from this place, might reach out to them. We ask all this in your Son's most holy name. Amen.